Today's reading is taken from Luke, first chapter, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestors David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month of her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. So ends our reading this morning. You can be seated.
I don't know if everybody heard me. Did you get your Christmas shopping done?
No.
That's what I'm hearing from a lot of people. So you're waiting for the last minute, huh? You're still working on it, right? That's a big question. You know, you're trying to figure out that gift to get certain people. And I always find this dilemma happening in my own mind. You know, you're trying, at one angle is I'm trying to get the gift that will, you know, be thoughtful and express, you know, appreciation for that person. But then there's other people that you buy gifts for and you're like, what can I get that they won't reject? You know, what's the gift that I can get them that won't be taken back to the store? You know, that's a different way of, it's not a pleasant way to buy gifts, is it? Because you're trying to figure it out and you don't know what to do and you don't want your gift to be rejected. Has anybody here ever had a gift that was rejected? You gave somebody a gift and it got rejected, you know? You know what I'm talking about then. I'm seeing some folks nodding some heads out there. Well, since you're still shopping this week, I thought I'd share a few gifts with you that I would advise you not to get. So would that be helpful? So there's a few I'd like to show you this morning. Maybe you remember the pink bunny suit from The Christmas Story. So there is a rejected gift right there. You don't want that look on somebody's face, so when you get the bunny suit, probably stay away from that. How about, have you got your Snuggies yet? Anybody got your Snuggie? So now I've actually had people come to me and confess that they wear Snuggies at home. You know, they're not going to go out to the soccer game with them, but they'll stay at home. So, but probably not the best gift if you want to impress somebody. How about the Chia Pet? We've had the Chia Pet. And I actually saw this week they came out with the Obama Chia Pet, and I thought, that's just not right. Also, you might want to measure things before this next gift when you go, you know, you might want to just get the tape measure, secretly go into the apartment and measure before, kind of think through things before you give it away. I'd also advise not to give this gift to anybody in your family. That's a Thighmaster. You might want to stay away from that and other types of exercise equipment. And also, you probably don't want to give a diet book. I came across this diet book, "Help Lord, the Devil Wants Me Fat." And the name of the author, I thought, just cracked me up. C.S. Lovett. You know, I just thought, so I don't know where people come up with this stuff, but probably not a good idea to get a diet book for somebody, a significant person in your life. And then the thing that we really don't want for Christmas is the classic fruitcake, right? So stay away from the fruitcake unless you know that person really loves fruitcake. But it's part of that dilemma of not wanting the gift to be rejected. Because I think sometimes when we give a gift and it gets rejected, sometimes we think we're rejected. We feel rejected. We feel like we're being turned away, even though it may be the gift, but sometimes we can take it personally. That fear of rejection, that fear of losing my reputation, that fear of people perceiving me in a way that I don't want to be perceived. We do a lot to manage perception, a lot to manage how people view us, because we're afraid of how they might, the possibility of rejection. You know, when Mary got this message, the angel said to her, "Favored one," and then went on to explain what that meant. And I think about that, and it would have been natural for her to be perplexed about this message, to be a favored one. You mean I'm going to become a single mom? You mean I'm going to give birth, and I've never been a mom before, and you think this is a good thing? So I imagine that Mary was struggling some with that own sense of fear that she had to work with. You know, am I going to be accepted? Am I going to accept God's plan here? Or am I going to fear what others are going to think about me because of accepting this plan? You see, if she were to actually accept this plan, she was risking ridicule, shame. She was risking a divorce from her husband, Joseph, because in the first century, when you were engaged, it was actually you were in a contracted position with that, not only that person, but with that family. Contracts had been written, and to break an engagement actually required a certificate of divorce, a legal certificate of divorce for that to happen. She was risking losing her husband rejecting her family rejecting her, her community rejecting her. And yet we find her willing to accept God's plan in the face of potential rejection. And that's the question we always have to wrestle with. You know, am I going to do what God is asking me to do? Am I going to do the right thing? Am I going to get involved in God's plan? Or am I going to worry and fear what other people will think of me and not do what God is asking me to do? That's always the tension, isn't it? Am I going to fear what others will think, or will I follow through on God's plan? You know, when I was pastoring a church, and one day I was driving up to the church, and somebody had left their 12-pack of Miller Lite out on the lawn. And you know, the church lawn was several acres, and it ran along this road. And so it was obvious that somebody had driven up the road, rolled down the window, and just started chucking the cans out the window as they drove up the drive and went by the church. And so all along the grass are these empty beer cans of Miller Lite and an empty Miller Lite 12-pack box. So I drive up, park my car, and I think, well, somebody ought to pick that up. So I go down to the end of the road, and I pick up the first can, I grab the box, and I'm throwing the empties into the box, all these beer cans I'm putting back in the box, and got them all back in there, the empties, and I'm going to go throw them away. And as I'm walking up to the church with the 12-pack in my hand, sure enough, one of those faithful church members drove by and looked at me kind of like, what? Why is the pastor walking into church with a 12-pack of beer? And so I had to fend off, you know, the reputation of being an alcoholic and all that. I'm just kidding. They never did that. I followed up with that conversation. But my first reaction was, oh, what are they going to think? You know, what are they going to think? I wasn't worried about that I just did something good for the environment, you know, that's something I felt like God would want us to do. But I was thinking, what are they going to think? And I think that's the tension that we always wrestle with. You know, are we going to allow what others think to stop us from doing what we know is God's plan or what God would have us do? We all wrestle with that. We wrestle with not getting in on God's plan because maybe we're afraid. But Mary doesn't do that. Mary accepts God's plan for her, even though she doesn't know how it's all going to work out. Even though she knew the consequences of that, she kept consistent and faithful and said, I am willing to follow the plan. See, that's what I think God's looking for. God's not always looking for us to have it all together. God's not always looking for us to be perfect and to have everything right. God is simply looking for a willing heart. God is looking for people willing to accept the plan and purpose for their lives. The question that God asks us not is, are you ready, but are you willing? I think about all the people in the Bible. If you look at the people that God worked in their lives throughout the Bible, you'll see a ragtag bunch of people, imperfect people, who didn't always get it right, but just made themselves available. Moses didn't really want to do it, made excuses. He was a fugitive from Egypt, just a plain old shepherd in the desert. But God wanted to use his life, and he eventually came around and was willing to accept God's plan. Deborah was a judge in the Bible, and nobody else was willing to step up into leadership for Israel and lead them militarily and politically. And because no one else would, Deborah said, I'm willing, I'll step up, I'll take leadership. All the disciples, none of the disciples had religious credentials. None of them. They were fishermen, tax collectors, and others. But what did they have? A willingness to follow Christ. There's an often quoted phrase in the church and in among church circles where we say, God equips the called, doesn't call the equipped. Did you get that? God equips the called, doesn't call the equipped. God says, are you willing, not are we ready to accept the purpose and plan that God has for us? The other thing that amazes me about Mary in this story is that Mary was a teenager from an obscure village in Galilee. Not Jerusalem, not the big city, but a place of really obscurity. In the hill country of Galilee, Nazareth sits. This is not like, you know, it's not like God came to somebody and said, oh, came to somebody who went to Harvard or Yale and said, hey, you know, I want you to do it. God went to a very lowly place and looked for someone with a willing heart. God went to a very humble place and looked for a woman who would make herself available to do God's will. Teenager, not prepared, never even had a child before. Unprepared, but willing. And another thing I think about Mary is that not only is she willing, but that this idea that God will work with anybody. God will work with anyone. God will take anybody on his team. God will work in any way that God wants to work with someone who is willing and willing to submit themselves to God's plan. Anyone God can use. In that same church where I got accused of being an alcoholic, we had our head usher came in every Sunday morning for our 8 o'clock service. His name was Charlie, and Charlie was in his 40s. And Charlie had been born with Down syndrome. And every Sunday morning at 7:30, Charlie would walk in the doors of the church, and I would be sitting in my office going over my sermon notes. Got to back that one up a little bit. So going over my sermon notes, making last-minute notations or shifts or whatever, and Charlie would walk in at 7:30, the first thing Charlie would do is he would come in my office and he'd sit down and he'd talk to me. And he'd share with me everything that went on in his life that week, everything that had happened in his house and at work or whatever he was doing. He would share all these things, and I'm not sure if I ever told his mother all the things that he had shared with me. But, you know, it didn't matter. He was just so honest and open about his life. And then after that, Charlie would go and he'd grab the bulletins, he'd open up the doors to the church, he'd open up the doors to the sanctuary, and he'd stand and he'd wait with his bulletins. And when people would walk in the door, Charlie would light up and he'd smile. and he'd welcome them, and he'd give them a bulletin. And if he knew you really well, Charlie would actually give you a hug or put his arm around you. And I saw this this happened every Sunday morning, week in and week out, 52 weeks a year, his faithful servants, his faithful willingness to serve God in that church. And you know, I think about Charlie because I learned a lot from Charlie. God used Charlie in ways that maybe the world would have never seen. I saw people that were tired and grumpy walk into that door and light up because of Charlie. Because they knew that they weren't just coming to worship, but sometimes I think they came in that church just to get a hug from Charlie. Just to know they were loved. Because maybe they had a week where they didn't feel loved anymore. But they knew Charlie would love them. And what Charlie taught us and continues to teach folks is that unconditional love for people. And he was just simply willing to do that. See, the world would have said, well, God can't use Charlie. But I would tell you different this morning that God could use Charlie and God can use anyone for God's purposes and plan. So, are we willing? Because God could use any of us. God could use any one of us in this room to accomplish some plan or some purpose. Not just the pastor, not just the people that we bring up on stage, not just the leaders. Any one of us in this room could be used by God as an instrument of God's love for people in this world. The question is, are we willing? Are we available? Will we follow through on what God asks us to do? And I think the other thing that we sometimes wrestle with, and Mary was willing to accept, but I think that she had a sense that she would accept this plan, but she also knew that she was going to need God to go with her. You know, it wasn't like God was coming to Mary and says, Mary, you go take care of this yourself, and sends Mary on the way to kind of do whatever needs to be done. And then God steps back and says, okay, have a great time. Which is sometimes the way we think about God. You know, we think that God is just kind of removed, and God kind of says, do this, this, and this, and then God steps back and says, okay, well, I'm going to watch how you do that. But no, I think the idea that Mary has is that Mary is thinking God is going to come alongside of her. God is going to be with her in the plan. That God is going to give her the strength, that God is going to work out the circumstances, that God is going to go ahead of her and prepare Joseph and do all these other things to make sure that God, because whose plan is it? Is it Mary's plan? No, it's God's plan. God's working the plan out. Mary just has to be willing to be a part of it. You know, I'll share this last story with you about a grandfather sitting in his kitchen one morning in a summer day. The window's open. He's having his morning cup of coffee and reading the newspaper. And outside, his granddaughter is playing with a friend from down the street in the sandbox out in the backyard. And they're building things in the sand and making creations and sandcastles. And he overhears the girl say to his granddaughter, my sandcastle's better than your sandcastle. And she says, it is not. My sandcastle has a moat. Yours doesn't. She says, well, mine has a flag, and yours doesn't. And so they begin to have this little debate about whose sandcastle was better than the other. And since they didn't have an answer, because they were arguing back and forth, they decided to escalate the conversation. And they say, well, my dad's bigger than your dad. I mean, that's the next step, isn't it, when you're a kid? And said, no, my dad's bigger than your dad. Well, my dad can do this. Well, your dad can't do that. And then the little girl proudly said, I can walk 3 miles. The granddaughter said that, and the other girl says, you cannot. She says, I can too. Because when I walk with my grandfather and I hold his hand, I can walk a whole 3 miles. Now granddad was smiling in the kitchen. Because the girl had illustrated a truth for him. That it was true that on her own she probably couldn't walk the 3 miles. But that when she held his hand, she could accomplish things and do things that she wouldn't otherwise without him. that when she depended upon his strength to walk with her, she knew she could do it. And I think that's Mary. I think Mary is saying, I'm going to trust in God's strength to walk forward, to move forward. I'm going to take God's hand, and I'm going to trust God to give me the strength to follow through on this plan and purpose that God has for my life. So are you willing? Are you willing? Am I willing to follow through on God's plan and purpose for our lives? It may not be bringing the Son of God into the world. In fact, that one's done. You don't have to worry about that one. But there are other plans. There are other people in this world who have not experienced the good news and love of Jesus Christ. And we are the ones that God is asking, are you willing? Are you available to be the messengers of good news to a fearful world? Are we willing to do that? Let's pray together. God, we come to you today and we thank you that you love us unconditionally. And you call us to bear that unconditional love to a hurting world. And God, we pray that you would come as we make ourselves available, that you would come beside us, walk with us, strengthen us for the days ahead, for the things and the plans and the purposes that you have for us in this world, that we would just simply be willing to take your hand and let you lead us. Thank you, God, that you don't abandon us, but you come alongside of us and walk with us. We give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen.